If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill. If we'd known 10 years ago today would be 10 years from now, would we spend tomorrow's yesterday and make it last somehow? Would be the tears in someone else's game and never learn to play.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at www.tn4action.com. That's www.tn4action.com. Welcome to the show tonight. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We have a good group of guests lined up tonight. Our first guest is Dave Nance, and that's Nance with an N. We know each other pretty well, and other people know us, but still get us confused. And Dave has been very active in the Tea Party movement in Tennessee pretty much since it started. You with us, Dave?
I'm here. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing fine, Dave. Dave Nance is the president of the Gibson County Patriots, a Tea Party there in Gibson County, and he's also the president of the 8th District Tea Party Coalition. And he's been involved in a lot of things across the state for the last at least 4 years now, right, Dave?
Yep.
And what he's going to talk to us tonight, though, is a little different, something that all matters to us. We all deal with it one way or the other. It's worse for some than for others, but he's going to talk a little bit about the fair tax. And I don't know a whole lot about it, but Dave does. And Dave, can you just kind of give us an overview of how the fair tax differs from the current tax system? But before you do, the number for call-in is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, okay. Just for a general overview, what the fair tax is – it is a consumption tax, it's a sales tax that completely replaces the income tax, any income tax. The income tax goes completely away. There's no withholdings from your check. There's eventually no IRS. If you work 40 hours a week, you make $15 an hour, you take $600 home. So you have to remember, as we start talking about the fair tax and the taxes on goods and services and what have you, you have to remember that it does. You've got a lot more money in your pocket to pay those consumption tax. What you don't have is an IRS anymore. So, and that's one of the big things about it in my mind is my children, my grandchildren don't have to deal with a corrupt organization like the IRS for the rest of their lives, hopefully.
Now, there would have to be some sort of organization that oversaw this, right?
Well, the states, actually. There's 45 states that already collect sales tax. The fair tax would piggyback onto the state sales tax collections, and not only that, but the retailers, the people, retailers or service providers or whoever collects the taxes, actually they get a quarter of a percent for doing that tax collection. So it's something that they don't get now. The administering of the fair tax is very, very economical compared to the income tax that we have now.
Did you say there was a certain percentage?
Yeah, there's a quarter, 1/4 of 1% that the retailer or service provider gets for collecting those taxes. And it is
no, but what's the percentage on the consumption tax? I'm sorry. When you make the purchase, the consumption.
Okay, the consumption tax can be a little misleading and confusing. The add-on is actually 30%. However, the percentage of your total is 23%. Now, this gets a little confusing to some people, but if you tax $1, if you add 30%, it comes up to $1.30. But 30 cents is only 23% of $1.30. You follow me?
I think so.
Okay. It's a little confusing. But it's done that way because your average product that goes onto the market today, and I say average because it depends on the labor intensity of the product, but the average product has 22% of the cost of that product is income tax. It's a hidden tax. You don't realize it's there, but on the average, let's say my Ford pickup, when it the sticker price on my Ford pickup, there's actually 22% of that that's income tax on the labor that it took to produce that vehicle or product, whatever it might be. So then when you replace that with a total of 23% of the sales in the fair tax or a consumption tax, it offset. It comes out to about the same. In general terms, you've got exactly the same amount of money coming out of the economy. You simply take it from the other end, not from labor, not on income, but on consumption. And it's a much.
And you hopefully get rid of the IRS in the process.
You hopefully, yes. And I say hopefully. I try to be objective, although I'm in favor of the fair tax because of what it can do for our economy, but for our jobs, for industry, for a balance of trade, it's pretty phenomenal. But realistically, I've only heard one real legitimate, what I feel like is a legitimate argument against it, and that's the IRS does hang around for up to 6 years to clean up their mess, more or less, because there's things that there's audits under ongoing. They can audit 3 years back. There's companies, there's businesses, there's people with tax credits that would have to be accounted for somehow. And
six could easily turn into 20, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, that's the potential, and that's the argument. Now they say, well, what if 6 years go by and our politicians like both taxes? Well, that's a risk. It really is. You hope something like that wouldn't happen, but you know, if they did keep both taxes, they're going to only get so much blood out of a turnip.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Right now where we are in our tax rates. We're already over the hump on the Laffer curve. If they raise rates anymore, they're going to get diminishing returns, and that happens.
In fact,
several times looking back, they've lowered tax rates and increased revenue.
The politicians can decide they like both. But one thing about the IRS, right now it's the citizen versus the federal government, the way it's drawn out.
Yes.
And if you were able to go to a consumption tax, hopefully you could alleviate at least a good chunk of that to where you didn't have Joe Schmo up against the power, the total power and control of the federal government. Now, you got a little, you're talking about the price of manufacturing and everything, and you got a little experience with that. You know, you're a former business owner, and so from a business owner's perspective, and maybe we have some out there listening, if you are and you want to call in at 718-305-7176, you got a little experience. So how, from that angle, how do you see, what advantages do you see in a fair tax?
Well, one advantage I see is I wouldn't have to deal with all the withholdings, the income tax withholdings, the FUTA, the SUA, all the junk that you have to calculate payroll for. And I don't know whether anybody could deal with today's income tax withholdings without a computer. It's so complex that, you know, a lot of people use different computer programs. These businesses update your software as the law changes, or they try to. But, you know, over the last year, our income tax code has changed over 400 times. It's more than once a day.
Our tax code. Say that again?
Yeah, over 400 times over the last year, our tax code has changed. It's more than once a day.
Lord, how does anybody keep track?
Well, they don't. It's a nightmare. we all know it's a nightmare. Accountants try to keep track of that. But that's part of the reason, Dave, that, see, the cost that we drop out, and, excuse me, the budget for the IRS is in the neighborhood of $12 billion. But the cost to the American people, to businesses, to comply with 75 or almost 75,000 pages of tax code is around $265 billion a year. And paying attorneys and CPAs to try to work through this nightmare of the income tax code. So if you take that, you remove that $265 billion in the cost to the American people and to businesses, $265 billion would fund our entire federal government for a month.
That is a lot of money. That is a huge amount of money.
It's a huge amount of money. So that's $265 billion that goes, it's actually overhead to the American people, to American business, that nobody gets anything from, really. Well, except the CPAs and the attorneys.
Yeah, and they got a vested interest in keeping that, keeping the system as it is. So,
oh, sure they do.
We know they're not on our side. Hey, I've got to take a real quick break, and hopefully we'll have some callers when we come back. Phone number 718-305-7176. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. Listen up, then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome in our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m., 7 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Dave, we were talking a minute ago, and we talked about the tax attorneys and the accountants that have a vested interest in keeping the system as it is. You know, on the other end of that spectrum, what would the average citizen, how would he be impacted by the fair tax, other than what we've mentioned, that he wouldn't have to go head-to-head with the federal government?
Well, it depends on that person's habits. If you are a frugal individual, if you save your money, it's quite rewarding because savings are not taxed. You're not taxed until you spend your money. So if you save and invest, it's quite rewarding. And saving and investing is what strengthens our economy. So how it impacts the individual depends on the individual's habits. And I think it would cause people to be more saving-minded.
Well, yeah, they have an incentive to save.
Another thing just came to mind is it doesn't punish hard work. How many times have you heard somebody, well, I don't care about the overtime, Uncle Sam gets it all, right?
Oh, yeah, no incentive to do extra because above a certain level, it's kind of like what you mentioned a minute ago, at some point in time you're at the max of at the rate that you can tax and expect any kind of decent return. Otherwise people, that's one of the reasons they look for loopholes. That's one of the reasons, like you say, many people don't want to, do overtime or do overtime beyond a certain point because at some point in time they're working for free or they're working for a lot less than what their hourly rate is.
Well, they're not gaining time and a half, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. A tax and a half maybe, but not a time and a half.
Yeah. Well, there's every time we start in a conversation here, it brings me something else to mind. See, with the fair tax, everybody who spends pays taxes. But let me back up and talk. Are you aware of the prebate?
No, but before we go to that, I'm going to have to step in. We're going to have to take a quick break. And before we go to the prebate, we do have a caller on the line. We'll take a call, and we'll take it from there. So hold on, and we'll be right back. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio with Dave Vance. We'll be right back.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat. Or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee, Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We've got Dave Nance with an N on the line with us, and we're talking about the fair tax. And we're going to go to a caller here. We've got Kurt Blackwood on the line. How's it going today, Kurt?
Hey, Dave and David.
Hello, Kurt.
Everything is rocking along here. I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk. Dave, I remember this has popped in my head a few times since you spoke these, what I consider immortal words the other day over the phone with me. So many rabbits, so little time.
Yeah.
David, as I'm listening to you talk about the fair tax, of course, I've heard you lay this out before, but I'm far from really getting it all committed to memory. And a thought occurred to me here. As a retiree, first of all, is there going to be any immediate effect, any ripples that I would feel from this change were we to go to the fair tax?
Well, the ripples that you'd feel, you may be like me. I don't have any income right now. I've got some carryover from retirement that I'm paying taxes on. But as we retire, our income slows down or stops, and we don't pay very much taxes. But when it goes to a consumption tax, you're going to pay taxes just like everybody else pays taxes.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we're looking, I'm 62. I've just retired recently, and I've paid income tax all my life. Now, to a consumption tax is not the grandest thing in the world for me personally, but for what it does for our country, for what it does for our economy, for business, for jobs, for my children and grandchildren, hey, you know, I'll give it up.
Okay, I understand. I'm not trying to play devil's advocate on you here. I'm asking for my own information, more or less, so that I, more fully understand this.
But, Kurt, if you went to buy a new vehicle,
mm-hmm.
you would notice little difference, because when that income tax load comes out of the vehicle and the fair tax goes back onto it, it really doesn't change the price of that vehicle very much.
Right.
Or any other item. And we're saying 22%, but like I say again, that depends on the labor intensity of the product. It could be more
right.
or less than that.
Okay. All right.
Dave, I got a quick question here. Now, in terms of the fair tax reducing the power of the IRS, that's because there is no longer the income tax. It's just
right.
the consumption. Is there any other reason that they wouldn't, that the fair tax, any other part of it that reduces the IRS, or is that pretty much the gist of it?
Well, that's the gist of it. There's no income tax, so there's no reason to audit income. The IRS, and maybe I'm sure there would be some federal authority that would oversee the state's collection of the taxes, but the state is going to collect the taxes because they need their own. And it would
right.
be a there would be a direct relationship between what the state takes in and what they would send to the federal government, you know, of the total. So,
and it's good, like we say, to have that buffer of the state between the individual.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The state answers to the federal government rather than the individual, because the individual has, I mean, we don't have a chance. If you have a legal, if you have a legal standing with the IRS, you better have a pocket full of money, because they're going to wear you out with continuances, with every legal trick in the book. To burn your money up, so that you finally settle with it.
Yeah,
that's the way it works.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's definitely not a fair deal, and it's much better to have, like I say, the state to intervene. What advantages do you think that the fair tax has over the flat tax?
Well, the flat tax is still an income tax. It keeps the IRS. Now, it might make our tax it would make our tax code simpler, a flat tax. But if it's a tax on our income, we're still going to have an IRS. And my big question is, how long is a flat tax going to stay flat?
Yeah, it goes back to the argument they make about the fair tax. Well, okay, yeah, they've got the consumption tax. They haven't phased out the IRS yet because they're still dealing with old issues. Politicians decided they're like, but you're always going to have to deal with politicians. You always have to watch them like a hawk, regardless of which way you go. But I think that, me personally, anything that reduces the power of the federal government and anything that would put the state as a buffer between the individual and the federal government is, I think, a win-win for the citizens of our country. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Phone number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And we are talking fair tax with Dave Nance. Now, the deductions and exemptions that people use today, if they go to a fair tax, are all those out the window?
Yes, they're all gone. What I started to mention a while ago was the prebate. Every citizen or legal resident of the country gets what's called a rebate. This rebate is the amount of money that it takes to pay the fair tax or this consumption tax up to the poverty level. So anybody that's living at or below the poverty level pays no taxes on the fair tax. It's and if you make, let's say, if you spend twice the poverty level, you would be in the equivalent of about an 11% bracket. You see, as your income goes up, you spend more, and the percentage of that money it would grow. You know, and what you spend. You know, if you bought a yacht and I bought an airplane, we'd pay a considerable amount of taxes. You know. I don't anticipate either one of us doing that.
No.
And, you know, another thing about the fair tax, that everybody that's right now that's living on the cash economy, whether it be a drug dealer, a prostitute, somebody who just works for cash on the side, you know, and there's a lot of people out there, you know, that do lawn service, that do, you know, all kinds of things that's a cash business, they don't pay any taxes. But under the fair tax, they would all those people would pay taxes just like we do.
Yeah.
So that's quite a bump. Dave, what it does for the economy, and I mentioned the vehicle, when 22% comes off of the price of the average product because the income tax load is out of it, if it is exported. It is exported with that 22% out of that cost. So you can imagine what
that's
this
a good
would
chunk. That's a very good chunk.
For our balance of trade, great.
Yeah.
Good grief. And it would bring industry back to America, not only stop the exodus, which we're still experiencing, but it would reverse it. Industry would come back to America. People from offshore would invest in America because they could keep that income here and pay no income taxes. I've seen very, very little potential negative anywhere in it.
This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, 718-305-7176. Call if you have a question for Dave on the fair tax. We will get to your call as quick as we can. Had somebody pop up there for about a minute, and they were gone before you know it. So if you have questions, please call in. Once again, this is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio with Dave Vance. This is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Let's just kind of recap here, because I think you probably covered most of the ground in terms of, it eventually, hopefully, would do away with the IRS. It would, take a chunk off the top of especially your big ticket items because of the way it's structured. It would simplify the tax code. Now, on the downside, all your exemptions and deductions are gone. Any other advantages that you see, other things that you think that would really help the average person as far as supporting a fair tax?
I'm going to say the average person is not going to be positively or negatively affected. Like I say, on an average, you're paying the same amount of taxes. The federal government is going to collect the same amount of taxes from the economy, or say from us.
Right.
It's just when we spend it rather than when we make it. And that's the biggest difference. It would encourage savings. And savings, in the process of savings, doesn't strengthen our economy, but the result of savings strengthens our economy.
Well, that's one of the things they talk about all the time is how little Americans save. And anything I think that would help you save and get into that, the old mindset of, for instance, if you're going to buy a house, you save till you've got that 20% down. Maybe we could have avoided the housing crisis a while back.
Well, it could, yes, it could affect things like that. But mainly it's the consumption side. When it goes on the consumption side, it's going to encourage saving and investing, and it's going to strengthen our economy. And it's not just another tax scheme. It's hopefully that the income tax and the IRS does go away, and hopefully eventually the 16th Amendment's repealed. There's no constitutional amendment necessary. It's a fairly simple plan. And the guy that come up with, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, the man that came up with the fair tax plan, he spent $22 million on the research. In fact, I think he just passed away recently. But for the listeners, if you go to fairtax.org, and you go to the Frequently Asked Questions page, there is a series of short videos. Just click on the little video picture, and it will start through a series of short videos that explain the fair tax in depth. And I've listened to all those. That's fairly new on the website, I think. I first started looking at the fair tax about, 5 years ago. Kind of fell in love with the idea because I was in manufacturing, and I was in manufacturing for 32 years, owned my business for 32 years. I've been in manufacturing all my life, but as I went along through the years, and particularly after about 1990, just began to see business after business close the doors or move offshore, and that's gotten pretty serious. It's just like the situation, it parallels what's happening with California right now. From what I've been told, there's about 200 businesses leaving California every day.
good Lord, that's just astronomical. How, you know, no wonder they're, that's part of the reason they're in the shape they're in. Of course, their high taxes have a lot to do with it. Dave, we're going to have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we still have a caller on the line, and hopefully we'll have some more at 718-305-7176. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we'll be back in just a minute. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. Where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Inside Tennessee, Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We have Dave Nance on the line with us. He's talking about the fair tax. And, Dave, we're going to go to a caller real quick. I think I recognize this number. Is that you, Bing?
Yeah, that's me. How you doing, Dave and Dave?
Hey, Bing.
All right. How's it going?
Pretty good. It's a Dave. Well, yeah, we're still a little soggy out here, but yeah, it's a Dave duo tonight, man. And good show. I had a question, and Kurt too, Mr. Chairman. I had a question, Dave Nance. As far as the fair tax goes, I came in a little late, so please excuse my ignorance here. But as far as I can see, you know, the consumption tax, I think that's great because I think that's what gets our. While it might get the IRS out of our problems a little bit, but how do you deal with the big ticket items? Cars, automobiles, train, you know, I think you had started alluding to that, but when I changed, I think I missed that. But is there a cutoff point for that?
No, it's a flat 23% of the retail price of anything, and that goes for products and services.
So how does that trickle down to the guy that makes the widget that goes the guy that makes the timing chain gear the, or timing chain that goes in the car? All right, he pays how much? How much does somebody pay to make that? And how much does he pay to produce that?
Well,
you see, I'm trying to get at this. We have bread prices in this country that are just enormous because there's so many added taxes on bread and gasoline and all this other kind of thing. And I'm trying to figure out in my mind, and I think that's what a lot of other people are too, is how is this cap or how is this dealt with at a level? In other words, in a car, there's so many different items that go in that car. So if each manufacturer is paying a certain tax when they sell that to another company, then how is that? Wouldn't that just
the fair tax only taxes the finished product. It's not like a VAT tax, a value added tax, where every component is taxed as the thing is produced. The fair tax is on the finished good products that from business to business. There's no taxes.
Oh, okay. And that's a big point right there too, because that would be huge if you do what did in Europe with the VAT tax.
Oh, the VAT tax is horrible. No, it's if I'm selling, and I was in the stamping business, the metal stamping business. So if I'm selling I'm selling a stamping to Johnson Controls, and Johnson Controls is selling a door or a seat, for instance, selling a seat for a Ford, none of that is taxed. It's tax free all the way up the line. Only the finished product is taxed.
And well, how is that dealt with for OEM products though? Like say you know that you buy it AutoZone or you buy it any other company. I mean, overmarket. How do you deal with that tax there? That I think the whole thing. I don't have a problem with it. Okay, I ain't got a problem with it at all. But I'm trying to figure out how we can relate this to people in some kind of better way. I think it's not so confusing to them.
Well, to answer your question, like if you go to AutoZone and buy a water pump for your car, it's a retail sale, so it's taxed. It gets the fair tax. If the water pump is sold from a supplier to as an OEM or a part of a product, part of a vehicle, a new vehicle, it's not taxed in that situation. Everything is taxed at the point of sale of the finished product only.
How would exports or imports, I guess, of the raw material be handled? Would they be taxed, you're saying nothing would be taxed? So, an import from China or from Brazil or from India would not be taxed? Or?
Oh, now it depends. If a finished good comes from, let's say Japan, if Japan sends an automobile into the U.S. to be sold, yes, the fair tax goes on to it. But if it's if it's for the production of something, let's say raw material, steel, is coming in, it's not a finished good. It's a business to business sale, so it would not be taxed.
And the maximum tax rate, and that's flat across the board, would be, you said, 23%.
It would be 23% of the total sale, and like I explained to Dave, it's a little bit misleading because when you say 23% of the total price, and I used a dollar because it's simple, what the add-on would actually be 30 cents. And a lot of people don't tell you that, but it is. If you take a dollar and you add 30%, it's $1.30, correct?
Right.
But 30 cents is only 23% of the $1.30. That's the way percentages play.
Yeah, I understand that. So, I mean, it makes great sense to me, man. I don't see, I mean, we're doing that to a point in some sales right now, but, in our state anyways. But, I know other states aren't. So I think across the board, I mean, if you're using something, I think you should be paying for it.
Well, the other day I had, the fire tax came to mind. I had my well pump went out, so I had the well man come, and naturally it was Saturday afternoon, so he came on Sunday, and that cost me to get a new well pump put down. Well, that's a service. It's a product and a service. So I would have been paying the fire tax on his labor and the price of the pump.
See, I think that some people get confused a lot because, you know, I come from Florida. We didn't pay a sales tax, or we didn't pay a tax on service. We paid a tax on goods. Whereas Tennessee here, you know, you pretty much pay a tax on everything. So,
yep.
And that's fine with me. I don't really have a problem. I think 23% is a little bit high, but, you know, as long as you're using it, I think it's a fair type of tax.
Well, yeah. Bing, if you take a look at, yeah, but recall, you still got all of your money in your pocket that you've earned.
Yeah, Uncle Sam hasn't rated you already.
Right, you haven't been rated. So you've got that money in your pocket that you didn't get taxed on your income to pay those taxes with. And if you're frugal, your buying habits, you can control how much taxes you pay with your bank buying habits.
Yeah, hey, we're up. We're getting close to a break here. I want to check in with one of our other callers here and see if he has anything else. We'll have to take a break here in a second. Hey, great questions, Bing. And Dave, I'm glad you're answering these tax questions. Definitely out of my league on that. Kurt, you got anything else on the tax questions?
No, not at the moment, Dave.
Dave, I do want a little clarification. You mentioned a prebate a few minutes ago. Is that just for the people that are below the poverty level?
No, everybody gets it. Bill Gates gets the prebate. Of course, it doesn't mean much to him, but everybody gets the prebate. That covers your taxes up to the poverty level.
Wow. It's different. Definitely different.
Well, it's treating everybody the same bad.
No, that's not. Hey, but you know, that's a nice change, really. That's a nice change. But another thing they've done with the tax code is they played the class warfare thing to the hilt. Not just recently. I mean, they've always done that. I mean, what you hear the whole tax cuts for the rich garbage. I've been hearing that for years. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And we have Dave Nance with us. He's been on the last 30 minutes here talking about the fair tax. A lot of good info. And, Dave, I hope to have you back on again. We've got our next guest coming on. But I appreciate you being with us. I hope you'll stick around. Maybe you might have some questions for the next guest.
I will stick around.
All right. Appreciate it. Our next guest is Clay Harlan, and he is the associate teacher / pastor for the New Hope Community Church in Brentwood. And he's got a new program out, and I'll just let him tell you about it. Clay, you with us?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Now, the Supreme Court decision recently, the DOMA decision, was disappointing to a lot of us. But it didn't go quite as far as some would have liked it to have gone. The homosexual lobby, of course, is still pushing it. And you've created a series called The Naked Truth that deals with this issue and others as they relate to the moral collapse of our country. Real quick, and we are going to have to take another break, unfortunately. But what do you hope to accomplish with this series?
Well, it was really a four-part series that we started because we wanted to prepare our people for what we call the sexual tsunami that's fixing to come on our nation. And so we wanted to prepare them on how to deal with it and also just reassure them of God's amazing love for them and the freedom that they have in Christ and just equip them, to be basically honest with you, because I think we've just hoped that this would go away, and it's not. It's with us to stay, and we've got to get ready as followers of Christ.
Yeah, so this is just, you know, the Supreme Court decision, as bad as it was, is probably
right.
Just the warm-up for what is coming.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrible, but that seems to be the way we're headed. And, of course, we do have a responsibility if you're a Christian or, you know, just a concerned citizen. You definitely
right.
have responsibility. Well, we've got several questions for you, and
okay.
we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk some more. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. So call in number 718-305-7176, and we will be right back.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay,
right.
This is one number that's yours.
I'm
it's a five,
you
but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Call in number 718-305-7176. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and our guest tonight is Clay Harlan from New Hope Community Church in Brentwood. And we're talking about a new series he's created called Naked Truth. It has to do with the overall sexual revolution in our country and basically the moral collapse of our country. Clay, I read over the introduction for the series, and you identify the sexual revolution and sexual immorality in general as a symptom of a greater problem. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, sir. You know, of course, I'm coming from my authority is the scriptures. And so the Apostle Paul was dealing with the same issue in his day. It's nothing new when he was trying to write to the Roman believers that about what happened to the human race. And he kind of nailed the problem in his opening statement in the first chapter of Romans, is the fact that they had abandoned, people had abandoned the worship of God and its simplicity, and were running after created things or mammon or what we would say money. And so the real issue today is not, I know we're looking at the symptoms of say, like pornography, homosexual marriage, the rampant abortion that's going on in our country. All these things are reprehensible, don't get me wrong. But they're symptomatic of what I would say are the fruits of idolatry. And he kind of spells that out in verses 18 through 32. But if what happens is there is a progression that takes place where they stop glorifying him as God, they don't give thanks to him, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. They worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, and they don't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. He said, this happens in a society that's in rebellion to God. And when they do, they become worthless as the thing they worship. And God gives them over. He allows them to go their way to worthless thinking and to depravity. And so therefore, as a result of that, a lot of fruit comes out from that that is immoral. And so when you take the underpinning out of a nation, when you take from an individual, when they no longer think it worthwhile to seek God, which I think all of us have evidence, he says in Romans, that God exists, that you can look at the creation, look at the design, the order of things, and even the law that's within our hearts. Every human being knows that is what is right and wrong. It's what's called our conscience. You can take two children on a playground, and when you take a toy away from one of them, he's going to get mad at the other one, even before they know how to communicate. He would think you're taking something away from you.
With everything you can see and all the evidence, it'd really be easier. I don't know how anybody could try to prove atheism. I don't understand how, you know, atheists have to have a whole lot more faith for what they believe than for what we believe.
Right. But they suppress the truth about God. The real issue with an atheist is he's living in, there is every man born and woman born today, it lives under what we call the law of sin and death. When first a couple sinned against God, the rest of us were born separated from God. We're physically alive, but spiritually dead. We're separated from God, and only God can restore that relationship through Christ. But we are born in a under the law of sin and death, is what Paul calls it. And so, therefore, we're born in rebellion against God. We have two choices. We can either seek him and find him, which he promised, and he would give us the redemptive work of regeneration of the Holy Spirit in our lives, or we can rebel against him. And when we do, when we go our own way, he allows us to go that way. Where we're living in a post-Christian country now, it's going its own way.
Yeah, and that's, like you mentioned, the examples, pornography, adultery, homosexual agenda, abortion, all those things, and as you said, they are a symptom of the core problem.
They are. And we as a church, we're called to love everybody that comes through our doors, and we're called to offer them the same grace and mercy that God has given us. But we have segregated out the sin of homosexuality as something greater than other sins, which it is reprehensible in the eyes of God, but so are a lot of other things. There are a lot of other things mentioned in that same chapter other than just homosexual relationships between men and women. I mean, he goes into greed. He goes into all kinds of things that are behaviors of a nation or a people or a group that has turned their back on God. So we are now in a post-Christian nation. We no longer allow God to be our source of inspiration or our laws above us. And so, therefore, we have taken away the underpinning of our country. So what's next? I mean, if we take away the institution of marriage and say it's between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, then what's next? I mean, there's
well, how
there's
do you make
no
a limit? I mean, how do you draw limits? How do you draw limits once you go the gay marriage route? How do you draw limits? How can you say, well, this is okay, but you can't have four or five people together. You can't have polygamy. You can't have. What do you say about the whole issue of incest? Once you've thrown out the moral code, how do you take it back?
Well, that's the issue. You don't get it back unless there is an absolute repentance on the part of the nation. It's an individual thing, really. I mean, it's one person at a time turning away from these things and turning their heart back to the Father and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and to transform them. Really, it's a heart issue, one person at a time. We can try to attack it politically, but you can't change your heart politically. And that's what this whole series is about. It is one person at a time taking responsibility for their life and allowing the Lord to transform them, and then them speaking life into other people. I mean, we can go ahead.
And I'm certainly not debating your point, but in terms of, you know, let's talk about individual Christians. I understand their responsibility as far as witnessing goes. Don't do a great job of it, but I understand it. As a individual and as a citizen, those are still things they should stand up. I mean, they should stand up against abortion. They should stand up against these type of things because these are, I mean, they're an attack on our whole society, really. They're an attack on the natural order that was created by God. And since in this country we do at least now currently have a political voice, you know, I would think that Christians should use that. You know, they have their spiritual responsibilities, witnessing, whatnot. But I would also think they would have their responsibilities to use what they have as a citizen, whether it be voting, whether it would be doing other things to inform voter, you know, hey, look, here's what's going to happen. Here are going to be the consequences of doing X, Y, or Z. And I don't know that we always do a good job at that.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I believe that you know, we're to be involved as citizens, to be involved in our government. We're to be involved in the political process. Don't get me wrong. I believe in all that. But right now, we have taken away the high ground, and that was the moral standard in our country. Several, you know, I don't know when the action was actually taken, but when we started believing in Darwinism. When we took away Blackstone from our legal system, and now we're setting precedents after precedent. And, you know, when's the end of that? And then we took the God out of our school system. And so we have a lot of work to do in a lot of different areas. But I'm telling you, it takes one individual at a time. I think as a church we have failed because we have fallen into the same trap of worshiping at the wrong idol. And I think that we, or worshiping at the wrong altar, we have involved ourselves in the wrong pursuit of things. We need to get back to our core beliefs ourselves and then transform our nation. But I think there has to be a revival first. It has to be a heart transformation. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of our country. And I believe there has to be a revival that takes place simultaneously with a political change in our country. And now, that's my point of view. Of course, I can't force that on the rest of us, but I truly believe that. I believe there's a disconnect.
Yeah. Well, you know, our country, it does have a Judeo-Christian heritage. Most of our founders, despite what the liberals would like you to believe, at least whether or not they were individual believers, and many of them were, many more than what they would like to admit to, were actually Christians, but almost all of them, even Franklin, he saw the importance, and he, if you remember, after I think it was Thomas Paine, wrote a book, I believe it was Age of Reason or something like that, where he was kind of slamming conventional Christianity. And he really warned him and said, hey, you know, not only is this going to be bad for you, but just think about how damaging it would be to society to remove these restraints that this this moral code has given us. And I'm paraphrasing
right
there. I'm going to take a caller here real quick and see. We got, hey, Kurt, still with us?
Yes. Yeah, I am. I'm there. I'm here.
Go ahead. You had a question?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess not so much a question as a statement here, and you'll have to forgive my poor memory. What's the pastor's name that you're speaking with there?
Clay Harlan.
Oh, Brother Clay. Yeah, listen, I appreciate your comments there very much, and I think that you don't fall into the same category as what I labeled not at any one individual, but in a general sense, the column I wrote for the local paper the other day, and I guess I got a little crispy with my wording in there, but I made a statement that a group of our leadership in this nation, that being the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, have failed in going forward with the total job description, as it were, and what that should be done in this battle that we're fighting. And I worded it this way, that one of the problems is there are too many styrofoam preachers that are preaching ear tickler feel good sermons. Now, I discern that description of some preachers does not apply to you, but I see that as one of our problems. And as you know, if you turn on the TV, you can find a lot of health, wealth, and prosperity preachers out there that are preaching what I refer to as the ear tickler feel good sermons. And it works for them because that's what a lot of people go to church for. They go to church to be made to feel good.
Right.
And that's not what it's about. Not
well,
to feel good. We should be made to feel bad about where we have failed. That some people don't like that scenario, but it's the truth. If we're not under conviction for our failures, then we're missing the point.
Well, it's a double-edged sword. We should be under conviction, but what we have available to us in Christ is the power inside of us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, can transform a life. I don't buy the fact that I have to stay a certain way. I may have one time been addicted to something, but I don't have to continuously say I'm an addict, because Christ in me can transform me. I believe that's true for any person. But we are complicit as pastors, as churches, for allowing us to fall asleep at the wheel and turning a blind eye to the sexual revolution that started back in the 50s and 60s. And now here we wake up and we say, oh, what happened? Well, we know what happened. We got lulled to sleep, and we got lulled into prosperity, too.
Hey, I'm up against a hard break here. I'm going to have to break in, and we will be right back at Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have 8 noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 21?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is peace around?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from
back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Phone number is 718-305-7176. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we have Clay Harlan, Associate Pastor of Brentwood New Hope Community Church, and we're talking about his series, The Naked Truth, which covers pretty much the sexual immorality in our country, everything from homosexuality to abortion, adultery, and pornography. And talk so far, essentially all of these things are a symptom of a core problem. And we've got a caller on the line here. Let me see who we have.
This is Bill Hemrick.
Are you with us?
Yeah, I am, Dave. Can you hear
Bill,
me?
Bill, you have a question? Yeah, I've got you.
Yeah,
you have a question?
I do, for Clay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Clay, last Sunday we had a discussion about how to react or how to treat homosexuality, and it was with love and with kindness and reaching out in the same way that that Jesus has done that for us. But there's a flip side of that coin. We have done that. We have reached out. We have nurtured. We have accepted this trend that's facing us now. I mean, it's blatant. And where has that gotten us? Of course, you want to be concerned about people that have those addictions, but not to the point where it's forced upon us. At now, we could be committing a crime if we don't do the wedding cake,
right,
or the photos, or things of that nature. And there's where you draw a line, I think. And so we have, for all this time, we've never rebelled against the homosexual community. And look where it's gotten us. And what does Jesus say about it? He calls it an abomination. Maybe he doesn't, but God does.
Right.
And so it's kind of a catch-22 here, as far as I can see. There's a problem. I don't wish anybody to be into that lifestyle, but I don't wish them to shove that down my throat either.
Well, no, I don't disagree with some of the things you're saying. As a minister of the gospel, my call is to preach the good news of Christ to whoever I meet and whoever the Lord brings to me, whatever sin they may be in. Now, some may choose to reject that, and some may choose to accept it. I'm to tell the truth to them, even at the cost of what it may be to me politically or governmentally if they tell me that I'm talking hate speech. I'm called to preach the gospel. I cannot shy away from that. But I don't think it is a nation or as a church. We have not stood against the murder of children. We have not stood against the rampant greed that's in our church and the covetousness. And the overreaching, we're in debt up to our eyeballs as a people and as a nation. That you look at the credit card debt per capita. So that is greed. As a church, we have not addressed our idolatry, and therefore we are living with the fruits of it. Homosexuality, pornography, all these things, bestiality, whatever you want to say, pedophilia, all incest, all these things are the nastiness of idolatry. Always has been, always will be. And until we get back to the core problem, we won't see a change. Now, should we stand up politically and governmentally and allow our law officials to should have carried out their the full force of the law when they should have? We turned a blind eye when they did. And we've elected people who have no backbone? Sure. We did all those things. Why? You go back, you follow the money, and you'll find out why.
Yes.
And we're worshiping at the wrong idol.
Greed and cowardice. Greed and cowardice, I think, are two of our biggest problems. Let's go to Dave Nash real quick. Dave, you want to get in on this a little bit? Dave, you still with us?
I don't hear him.
Hello? Okay. All right.
It's just me and you right now.
But let me say, this is the problem that guys like I and like me, I struggle with that because, you know, I don't want to be known as, you know, somebody that's just callous towards a person that if you want to call it an addiction, but I look at my country and I see because of the, you can't legislate morality. You just can't do it. And the Supreme Court had no right to even touch that marriage law.
No.
It's got to come from the church. If it doesn't come from the church, we're going to lose. And we're going to lose.
Let me jump in here. Come to the church. Go ahead.
Let me jump in here. First off, Bill, I'm going to say that
No, all laws are legislated morality. It's a matter of whose morality we're talking. That's what all laws are, regardless of how you look at it. But in terms of one of the things I always hear, and I've struggled this whole thing, do it in love. I hear that all the time. Yeah. Way too many times in the church, do it in love means don't do it at all because somebody might get offended. That's what it comes down to mean. And,
right. You
know, I understand as far as abominations, is homosexuality the only abomination? No. There are other abominations. I got that. I'm leery, though, of I hear these things, well, we need to reach out more. We need to reach out. And yes, you know, Christ reached out to us. I've got it. But I don't think you have a special outreach.
When did Christ turn his back on him? Yeah. At one point, when people turned away from Christ, Christ turned away from them, too. You know, they did it first. And there's, you know, last Sunday we were taught that there's three types. You know, there's the hardcore. Then
right. There's
the one that the hardcore kind of pushes out in the front. And then there's those ones that just want to live their life. And I have nothing against those. It's the hardcore that is dictating to me their lifestyle. And that
right. Lifestyle
is predatory. It's dangerous. Look at our children. They have
no idea.
They got a mother and father telling them one thing and a teacher telling them another.
Well, I'm with you, but there's one way you can attack this, and you can starve the beast. You know, we can shut down if you got every Christian in the country just quit watching their shows, quit buying their products, and those types of things, yeah, you can put a squeeze on, but will that change our culture, our nation? I'm telling you, if we don't start getting on our knees and start praying and asking God's forgiveness like Daniel did and asking him to intervene, I don't know that we can turn this thing around. It is a nasty beast that we've let out, and we've lost the high ground.
Yeah. Hey, Clay, I got a question for you. We're going to have to take a break here in a minute.
Sure.
But, you know, looking over your notes about your intro about the naked truth, just because a society seeks to change the definition of marriage does not change God's definition. What do you expect to be the end result of what our nation is doing? What do you think is ultimately going to happen, provided we don't
turn
our senses and return? Yes. Yeah.
Well,
how do you see it playing out?
You lose all godly reason. You lose your mind. The Lord allows you to go your way, but there is no neutrality here. You lose all ability to think in normal terms. You lose the high ground. So you're going to see more and more chaos because you have no more standards. You've thrown them out. And so you've got anarchy that's taking place in our halls of government right now. Your own president, your own government officials don't live by the laws of the land. When we create laws, the Supreme Court overturns them. So you're going to see more anarchy. But when you see God's hand taking this away from any nation, you go to Israel and look at Israel and Judah and the history of them. When they turn their back on God, he allows other nations to come in and have their way with them. We're putting ourselves in a position to be destroyed. If we do not, as a nation, as a people, take responsibility for our own actions, the actions of our community and our neighbors and our governments. But we've got elected officials right now who need to be replaced. We got a president, in my opinion, who has his own agenda, and he's not living under our own laws, and they're overturning the will of the people in California that was voted twice. I mean, I don't know what else we need to know. We're in trouble, you know. We're in debt up to our eyeballs right now. And so how are we going to turn that around if it's not one person at a time at a grassroots effort, and much like the Tea Party is trying to do now? But it's got to be a heart change, too. And even people within inside the Tea Party. I mean, it's got to be the Holy Spirit transforming each and every life. And that's the way we start turning this thing around. And I think it has to be a spiritual battle first. And then if God equips us politically, so be it. And if we take our resources and pool them to put people in office that can do things that are right, do it. If it's to create a third party or a fourth party, whatever. But the whole system is sick. It's inbred and it's corrupt. And that's just my opinion, though. I could probably get in trouble for
saying that. Well, I agree with you, and I'm sure a lot of others do, too. We're going to go to Kurt real quick. And, Kurt, you're going to get the last word on this before we have to go to our next guest.
Well, first I would like to say, Brother Clay, I applaud
you, Brother Clay, for standing up and saying what you have said tonight in a public forum. It's one thing to say it from the pulpit to your congregation on Sunday morning, which there needs to be more pointed, more direct preaching of these issues, I believe. But you stepped outside the pulpit, and you're saying it in a public forum, and I applaud you for that. And your last series of statements there, as far as I, you said you were just expressing an opinion. Well, I happen to believe that your opinion that you just expressed is top dead center. The way you expressed that there is what we have to do. It's what has to happen. Somewhere, some way, somehow, there has to be a turning, a complete turning. If there's not a turning back to the ways of the right ways, then we will indeed experience a total failure. But I thank you for being on the show, and I appreciate so very much what you've had to say.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you for checking.
Clay, thanks for being with us,
hey,
and we'll hope to have you back. And
I appreciate
really
you
appreciate
having me
everything.
On, and thanks for letting me express my opinion. I would just invite people to come here, Dr. Neil Anderson, this Sunday.
Neil Anderson? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a well-known author, great speaker, and we're having an open question and answer Sunday night where you can just ask anything you want, just like this. So.
Okay, well, great. That's at New Hope Community Church in Brentwood.
Yes, sir. Wilson Pike, 605 Wilson Pike.
Great. Well, hey, thanks again. Appreciate you being with us, and we'll definitely have you back. We're
going
to take
you.
A
God
quick
bless.
Break. And thank you, too. God bless. We'll be back in a minute with Colonel Jim Harding and J.B. Williams to talk to us about their organizations. Be right back.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. I'm your host, Dave Vance, on Conservative Nation Radio. We're having a few technical problems here. I apologize. The screen just went blank on me here. As soon as we get this straightened out, we'll have J.B. Williams from the U.S. Patriots Union with us, and we will have Colonel Jim Harding. If you just bear with me here, I apologize for the technical problems. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. And once again, we are having some problems here, and I will try to get it fixed just as quick as I can. My apologies. Okay. Once we get back up, the number will be 718-305-7176. And we should be squared away here in just a second, I hope, and I apologize. Okay. Little problem with the server here. Okay.
JB, are you with me?
I'm here, Dave. How are you?
Oh, I'd be doing great if I just didn't have total failure on my screen here.
Jim? Well, talk radio.
Yeah, there is a downside. Jim, Colonel Harding, you with us? Okay. Colonel Harding, you with us?
Yes, I'm here, ready to go.
Okay. Hey, I apologize. This is internet radio, so it does have its downside. Everything just kind of went blank there real quick, and I had to get back on. I had a little trouble getting back on, so I apologize for that. Anyway, this is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This show is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, and I'm your host, Dave Vance. Welcome back to the show. Had a longer than expected break, an unplanned break. But I have two gentlemen from Tennessee on the phone, and you will not find any truer patriots. We have Colonel Jim Harding, retired Air Force colonel, highly decorated Vietnam veteran, heavily involved with the Tea Party movement. And we have J.B. Williams, who is also the chair or vice chair, I think, of the U.S. Patriots Union. And he's a veteran of sorts. I'll let him fill you in on more of that. Veteran Defenders is Jim's organization, and JB is the U.S. Patriots Union, and they've kind of combined forces. So, Jim, let's start off with you. Tell us a little bit about Veteran Defenders.
Well, the main thing to remember about Veteran Defenders of America, and our website is veterandefenders.org. That's veterandefenders.org. We are primarily in the business of making sure that veterans and their benefits are protected. We have tried to put together lessons for all the veterans to be able to take care of themselves and their families, friends and neighbors in case of an emergency. We've never varied from the thoughts that we have a problem in our country of not having a capability for the government to take care of everybody. So we feel that the veterans, because of their ability to organize, to work with others, to be creative, are the best people to organize their friends, family, and neighbors to be able to take care of themselves. And we've never varied from that. We stress that today, that you need to be prepared for any eventuality, because we see so many things happening today that could lead to situations that you may not be able to get help from the government, or in fact the government may actually be working against you. So it's imperative that you as veterans work together with other veterans to get yourself prepared. And along this line, we work very closely with the United States Patriots Union, because that's the civilian side of the house, plus they have a lot of other functions that they do other than just work with veterans. We're only a small port of that organization. So I think it's very enlightening for your listeners to understand the difference and the similarity of the Patriots Union and Veteran Defenders.
So far what I've heard, the biggest difference between the Veteran Defenders and other organizations is, although you look out for the rights of the veterans, you're really an organization created to make use of the skills and training that veterans provide so that they can be prepared to take care of themselves when things go south. Is that fairly accurate?
That's very accurate. And we keep working and trying to impress on veterans that they need to work together. Unlike other veteran organizations, Veteran Defenders concentrates on one thing. We don't try to thump our chest and tell everybody how great we are. All we try to do is get veterans to help each other and help themselves so that they're able to take care of themselves in an emergency.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the Patriots Union. JB, what's the difference between the Patriots Union and all the other veteran groups we hear about out there?
Well, Patriots Union was formed back in 2010. Veteran Defenders was formed, I guess, 2 or 3 years before that by Richard Van Waal, and I know Jim was there at the time. And Richard has since passed away, unfortunately, because he's one of the finest men I've ever met. But before passing, he had contacted Patriots Union and was looking for a future home for veteran defenders. And make a long story short, it was a natural fit for us because Patriots Union had six divisions from the beginning, one of which was a veterans division. And so when Richard came to me about looking for a future home for veteran defenders, it was a natural fit for us because even though Patriots Union is a civilian-based organization, as I say, early on it had a veterans division to it. It also had a legal division, had a legislative division, and so on. And so Richard and Jim's organization, Veteran Defenders, just made a natural home, I think, at Patriots Union. And while Veteran Defenders focuses primarily on matters of interest to veterans and also active duty military families and families of military personnel, whether active duty or former duty, Patriots Union focuses on that and on other things as well, as Jim said. And so your question as far as what's the difference between Patriots Union and every other Patriot group out there, you're going to get a biased response from me, of course, because I help.
No, say it isn't,
you know,
so.
Found Patriots Union. But, you know, I was writing columns for many, many years before forming Patriots Union. And what it came down to for me is that the two parties, when they started in 2009, it was a welcome thing to me because for many years before that, I'd been writing about things I was unhappy about and concerned about going on in the country, and I wondered wherever all my fellow patriots were. And so when the advent of the Tea Party came along, nobody was more excited about that than I was initially, but there were a couple things with the Tea Party movement as it evolved that concerned me greatly, and in the end, I think keep it from being a powerful force to be reckoned with out there as far as any broad-based resistance to what's happening in our country today. And as a result, myself and about 23 or 24 others decided that somebody needed to form an organization that was based not on working in opposite directions and competing factions, but in working together all in the same direction at the same time, maximizing our power by working together instead of at odds with one another, but also identifying tangible strategies and goals that were doable, things that the American people could do peacefully to try to move their country in the right direction by simply working together on it could be political, it could be legal, it could be veteran-related, it could be legislative. And so we focused from the beginning on, you know, trying to develop strategies that were doable, that were peaceful in nature, even though we expected in the end, much like what is going on in Egypt today, the other side, the opposition, may not act peacefully. We're going to act peacefully until we don't have any choice but to do otherwise. And so
before we talk about Egypt, I'm sorry to jump in here, but before we talk about Egypt, and I've got a couple minutes till the break, but one of the things you guys worked on was the balance of powers, and not just in Tennessee. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, the Balance of Powers Act was drafted by our legislative group division about 3.5 years ago, led by Barbara Cate, who has a 40-year resume in law, and doing legislative work as well. And so Barbara led that part of the division to develop and draft a model state piece of legislation to be run in the states called the Balance of Powers Act. What it does in sum and substance is it reminds, in some cases doesn't remind, it teaches for the first time ever state legislators exactly what the Constitution says and exactly what it means and what 10th Amendment rights are and 9th Amendment rights and what the role of state legislature is supposed to be in protecting the rights of the people within that state against the federal government who is overstepping its constitutional authority. And it was our position, you know, we were familiar with nullification efforts and stuff like that ahead of all this. But we also watched those things be thrown out of courts, you know, over and over again, considered to be unconstitutional. We've even seen people who are allegedly on our side of the battle, Heritage Foundation and others, who have denounced it as unconstitutional. nullification. But what's not unconstitutional is for state government to protect the sovereign rights of the state as part of that union and the people within that state from whom all political power is derived. And so
we're going to have to hold up right there real quick. Sorry, JB, sorry to cut you off. We're going to have to hold up. We've got a hard break, and then we'll be right back. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Phone number is 718-305-7176. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We'll be right back in just a minute. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information, use a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. And now, Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that when you join LifeLock, you get the first 30 days free and 10% off their regular price from then on, only through ConservativeNationRadio.org. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's ConservativeNationRadio.com and, that's ConservativeNationRadio.org and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be glad that you did.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Phone number is 718-305-7176. Our guests are J.B. Williams from the U.S. Patriot Union and Colonel Jim Harding from Veteran Defenders. We were just talking about the Balance of Powers Act that they were involved with, and that's happened in several states, correct, J.B.?
That is correct. Tennessee was one of the first states to put it in. It requires a state legislature in one or another way to enact or to create a balance of powers committee within the state legislature to review both state and federal laws, rules, mandates, court decisions on the basis of their constitutionality and whether or not the state should comply with those rules or regs. Wow.
I've got a question for both of you. I have no idea what that noise in the background is.
I have a question for both of you. Well, real quick, Dave, what I want to say is it takes a legislature to create it in a state, but it takes the people of the state to make it function the way it's intended to. In Tennessee in particular, since we're talking about Tennessee mostly tonight, and yes, it has been put in place in a multitude of other states, and it's being worked in probably half the states in the country right now. But the people of the state have to make it work. And what I mean by that is these committee hearings are open to the public. The public can bring matters of concern over constitutionality to the committee, and they should. The public who is concerned about states' rights and individual rights within Tennessee or any of the states that have a balance of powers committee in place already, Louisiana and others, Oklahoma, they should attend those hearings and they should make sure that their voice is heard within their state legislatures, because it took the legislature to create the committee, but it's going to take the people within that state to make that committee function.
It'll only be as good as we make it. Is
that's right.
What you're saying. I mean, and we have to stay involved. We have to, and have to understand how it works. It's not a cure-all, but it's a start. Now, and before we go any further, I do have a question. You know, you mentioned educating the legislators. And this is actually a question, but were both of you surprised when you started going up to Nashville or wherever and talk to your legislators how little many of them actually knew about the federal and state constitutions? Was that kind of a shock for you?
In all
well,
honesty,
it wasn't a shock for me. Go ahead, JB. Sorry.
Hey, I was going to let you go ahead and answer, Jim. I'm sorry. Just go right ahead and I'll follow up behind you.
Well, it wasn't a shock for me because I've been around. We started our Tea Party business here in Huntington in 2007 and really got going in 2008. And it was amazing when you talk to people, when I made speeches to groups, how little they knew about what was going on in the federal government, but more importantly, in the state government, and even more importantly, in the local government, the county commissioners, the city commissioner, the county and city mayors. These are the things that bother me more than anything else, because when they see things that we're trying to get done, they don't realize how important it is to do that because they have not seen the results of inactivity. All they've seen is things are not working right, so they don't know, you know, kind of hidden out in all directions. And if there was any criticism of the Tea Parties, I would say that that's a problem that they have, is they have not been educated as to what they're really trying to get done. They're more of a group that complains about things that aren't getting done right, but there are a few that have organized to try to make a difference, to try to get something done. For instance, we now have a whole bunch of groups getting together to try to replace Lamar Alexander, who has become a total rhino. So it was a surprise to me, but it wasn't a surprise because I've seen that throughout my life, that very few people even know what the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution say.
It was not a surprise to me, Dave, not at the state level. I was many years ago surprised in Washington, D.C., to find out how few legislators there knew what the Constitution said or what it meant or cared about what the Constitution said or meant. I was very concerned and surprised by that many years ago. I was not at all surprised at the state level how little the state legislators seemed to know about it. Because at the state legislative level, it's not like the federal, where most of them have a law background, a legal background. At the state level, they do not. And they could be the farmer down the street or the business owner across town who's holding those positions. And until they get in there and start learning, they don't know. But more than that, I am shocked. I have been shocked over the last 5 years at how little people who call themselves constitutionalists seem to know about the Constitution. And I think that's really the greatest problem of all in this country, is how little the American people themselves know and care about what those documents say.
Yeah, well, and that's no accident. That didn't happen overnight. But, yeah, that is a problem. And, you know, you go back to the state legislators, so many things, if you ask them about something, they will say, well, you know, that's not my fault. The feds say we have to do it. Even at the local level, you know, you've got federal grants going directly to, you know, different county programs. And, you know, you would just think that there would be some resistance. You would think that, hey, you know, there's supposed to be some limit here to federal power. But I guess you go back to the our last segment, greed plays in. And so when there's free money or, you know, allegedly free money, we know there's no free money, but when that money is tossed, there's just not as many questions asked. That seems to be the case anyway.
I would challenge people to ask themselves this question. Is a state that is dependent upon federal funding, in fact, a sovereign state?
Well, the next question is, do we have any sovereign states?
With that criteria, we probably don't have any. Exactly. With that criteria, you wouldn't have any, would you? That's right.
Oh, no. No.
But it's like
anything else.
You know, this saying goes way back to before any of our problems. You know, but the borrower is always slave to the lender. He with the gold always makes the rules. And so where we are in this country right now is Washington, D.C. is controlling the gold, and they get and they're making the rules as a result. And if people want to change how that works, I suggest they study history, constitutional grounds, and states' rights, and they can figure out how to fix it. They can.
Colonel Harding, with what Jim just said, I mean, JB just said, do you think that, you know, that's one of the things that makes the Balance of Powers Committee so important?
There's no question about it. We have to make the legislators understand that it's up to the state to stand up for their rights. If they don't stand up for their rights, they will lose them. This is why we've lost so many of the state's rights that we had that have been guaranteed to us by the Constitution, is because the states have frittered that away. We have governors that are accepting bribes. I call them bribes because that's what a grant is. It's a bribe to do something the way the federal government wants you to do it. Education is a primary example. There are so many different grants given to the state to do certain things in education, which is not good for the state, it's not good for the county, and it's certainly not good for the students. We have the same thing happening with our military, the National Guard. The federal government gives the state certain things, but in return for that, they demand that our National Guard serve the federal government whenever they're asked to do so. And in fact, have had to almost swear allegiance to the federal government rather than to the Constitution is what their oath of office is in the beginning. So, yes, it makes a big difference. The more we allow the federal government to do, the more they're going to do because they will do as much as we allow them to do. We've got a Constitution, both federal and state. Those constitutions delineate the powers that a state has, and they're very, very limited with what the federal government has. They only have what the states have given them, except in a few instances, such as tariffs and national defense and a few things like that.
Yeah. And I think that's something scary, too. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence right now in some of the senior leadership of the military. I think probably your generation, which is a little older, I would think had a little better grasp of the way things were
actually
supposed to be.
Actually, it's a lot older.
Well, gotcha. But anyway, I've got to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAm is a liberal-free website, and any website that is liberal-free is a good website. Let's go back to the balance of powers a little bit. Now, when is the first meeting scheduled for the Balance of Powers Committee to meet?
I'll look that up here in just a second. It's give or take the third week in August. I'll find the exact date here in a minute before the show ends and give that to you. I believe it's the 20-something, but I'm not sure exactly which date it opens for business. And I do know that Rep. Jud Matheny, who chairs that committee and who is heavily involved in creating that committee, has a early agenda for in August. But I still say that at the end of the day, you know, people like ourselves I've been writing columns about it. Other people have been talking to Tea Party meetings and rallies about it. People have been blogging about it. They've been posting on Facebook about it. Before we created a Balance of Powers committee, we were a bunch of voices in the wilderness. And if we stay in the wilderness, that's our own fault at this point, because these committees were created for the sole purpose of providing a real, tangible forum to people like us for redress of grievances of what's going on in our state and in the country as a whole. So that's now the place, not the blogging, not the Facebooking. The place to take those grievances is to these different states' Balance of Powers committees. That's what it's created for.
And that's going to be make or break. Hey, and speaking of break, and I'll come right back to you, Colonel Harding, when we get back. I've got to take a quick break, and we'll talk some more with Colonel Harding and J.B. Williams on the Balance of Powers Act.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. The phone number is 718-305-7176. I'm your host, Dave Vance. This show is brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. We have J.B. Williams of the U.S. Patriots Union, and Colonel Jim Harding from Veteran Defenders on the line. And we've been talking about the Balance of Powers Act. We do need to take the call here. I have a caller on the line. Who do I have here? Hello?
Hey Dave, you got Jerry calling in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just wanna thank the Colonel and JB for their work in this that they're doing for everybody in the state of Tennessee and the Balance of Powers Act. I also wanna tell our listeners that it's really important that we show up down there on August 21st at 8:30 in the morning. We've got groups of people here working toward that, and please keep that date in mind and get down there and support our representatives and strengthen this powers, you know, this committee, so it does something worthwhile for us. Also, go to these websites, the Veterans Defenders and the American Patriots, as well as the Tennessee Action Council, and join up. You know, these folks are giving their all to help all of us, so they need our help too, and, you know, it's not a topic that people like to talk about, but it takes money to do these things, folks, and we need your help. We all need your help. Colonel and JB, thanks for everything you do for us. We're real proud of you.
Thank you so much,
thanks,
Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. Kurt, you have something you want to say?
I also want to thank the Colonel and JB there and Jerry as well for calling in. I mean, in this situation, you know, you guys lead. I'll try to keep up. Okay, that's how I look at it.
Jim, I think you were starting to say something about the Balance of Powers before we broke.
before the break?
Well, yeah, I was. And Jerry kind of said about the same thing I was going to say, and that is that these guys are really putting their necks on the line for us on the Balance of Powers Committee. It's not something that's popular with the governor, and certainly not popular with some of the rhinos that we have in our house. So it's imperative that we totally support this Balance of Powers Committee and be there in person as many people as can and talk to our representatives, find out who all is on the Balance of Powers Committee, and continue to encourage them to do their job, because if they get the feeling that they're out there by themselves, if we leave them hanging out on the line with no support, they're going to go away, because, it's not a popular thing. It's popular with us conservatives, but it's certainly not popular with the majority of the people in the United States right now, because they feel that it's great to have a government, federal government, that's giving you everything, a state government that's accepting all these gratuities and putting them into our education system, into our legal system, and so on. So if we don't give these guys the backing that they need, they're going to feel like it's not worth it for them to do that. So I would encourage everybody listening and everybody that we can find to support these folks that are on the Balance of Powers Committee by not only being there, but by calling them, emailing them, and writing them so that they understand that they are supported. They are, in fact, representing a lot of good people here in Tennessee.
Yeah, we can't afford to leave them flapping. I'm going to take another call here, and then we'll get back to the discussion. Barbara, you're on the line. Glad to have you.
Hi, Dave. Hi, everybody on the line. Thank you all for your service and your talk to us tonight. I want to promote my show tomorrow, Woman Patriots. We have Dan Bongino coming on to talk to us. For those who don't know who he is ex-Secret Service. And he's also running for Congress in Maryland because he's tired of the shenanigans that are going on in Washington as well. I really look forward to having him on. Women Patriots is on at 8 o'clock. Eastern Time, 7 Central, and we are at we can be found at www.conservativenationradio.org. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara.
I hope you all join us.
Should be a great show. We appreciate you. Thanks.
Thanks. Have a good night, everyone.
Okay, you too. Take
care. Thank you, Barbara.
JB, the Balance of Powers Act, now, we've talked a little bit about we need to show up and we need to be in contact, but exactly how does this thing work so everybody understands what the committee can and can't do? Like I said in the beginning, it's not a cure-all, but it is a starting point.
Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as a cure-all or a silver bullet solution in the state or in the country, so that out of the way real quick for people. But when it comes to dealing with the Constitution and the constitutionality of federal and or state actions, for that matter, because sometimes in some states, New York, jumped ahead of the federal government on gun laws, which they don't have the authority to do anymore, and the federal government does. So sometimes the problem is coming from the state level, legislators or governor or mayor. Sometimes it's coming from the federal level. So in Tennessee, the committee is there to review both state actions and federal actions. This committee is in the House of Representatives here in Tennessee. It is part of the state legislature, and it does have the ability that when it identifies a problem issue, and they will identify those problems, trust me, based on how loud the clamoring is in the room at these meetings, when they see that the people are simply not going to tolerate something, they do have the power from that committee to legislate against it or to take other actions, to take legal actions, challenges to different things. So they do have power, and they do have legislative power. Now, it's not just a review committee. In Louisiana, where they put it in as a resolution, it's just a review committee right now, and it requires additional actions at the state legislative level for it to become a fully functioning committee. But in Tennessee, it's a functioning committee.
So if they see something that's being done wrong, they can declare it null and void?
Well, I don't know if I would say null and void, declare it null and void. What they can do from there is they can issue legislation within the state, hopefully pass it, pass legislation within the state. As you know, in Tennessee, the governor doesn't even have to sign a bill if he disagrees with it. He can choose to not sign it. 30 days later, it becomes law anyway. And so he can take political cover by doing that if he wants to, or he can stand up like a real man and do the right thing. We'll have to see what happens when we get to that point, but, you know, here or any other state. But, yes, they can act. They can take a number of different actions, some of it legislative, as I said, some of it could be in the form of a resolution, some of it could be in the form of a suit that is supported by the state legislature and ultimately a governor's office. If something is in conflict from the federal government, we know there's numerous things that are in conflict. So, yes, they can take actions. Will they take actions? I think that depends wholly on what I said earlier and what Jerry Williams called in and said, and that is it depends, does our committee, now that they've stepped out on this limb with us to create the committee, does the committee have the support of the people of Tennessee? If it does, it will become a very effective tool for the people of Tennessee when it comes to constitutionality. If it does not have that support, it could die on the vine. And that's one thing we just simply cannot allow it to do.
Colonel Harding, what would be one of the first things you'd like to see taken to the Balance of Powers Committee? Is there a particular issue?
Well, of course. Well, there are several issues. I'm not sure whether it's have many order, but first of all, we should get back into the leadership of education in the state. In fact, even the state is too much involved in education. It needs to be down at the level. We need to get out of this rush to the top or rush to excellence or whatever they call it in Common Core and Agenda 21 and all of these things that are federal programs or even worse, United Nations programs. We as a state need to exert our sovereignty and get out from under any kind of a program that's going to take over some part of our state, whether it be the school system, whether it be our parks and recreation areas, whether it be our legislative action, or whether it be our legal action. We have got to exert our sovereignty, and that's what our Balance of Powers Committee can do, is identify these things as they come up, so that we can then fight those things as a state rather than have one or two people out there jousting with windmills trying to disrupt them.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the 21st of August is the first one. So what should people be doing? What should they be sending to the reps? Their suggestions for, hey, you know, Common Core, we think that's
people,
an issue,
people,
or Agenda 21.
Yeah, just so I can get this in before we run out of time, Dave. People do not have to put things in legislative form or in any kind of fancy legal jargon. A simple letter to this committee that is focused on a particular subject and has its ducks in a row as far as what's right and what's not constitutionally and within the state purview or within the state's rights can be presented in writing. It must be presented in writing, and for it to be on the docket for the upcoming session, it has to be presented 30 days in advance to the committee. So written form, 30 days in advance, and it should be on the docket in the next upcoming meeting. And so prior to the 21st of July, if you have something that you want to take to the committee, you need to be putting it down in writing. It can be in simple letter form, and get it to the committee chair, which is Judge Matheny, before the 21st of July, if you want it to be heard on the August 21st. And then, of course, depending on how much they get in, you know, not everything may make it into that session. But, you know, I want to answer a question real quick for me that you asked Jim, and that is, for me, I want the committee to use its 10th Amendment, to exercise its 10th Amendment rights as a state to protect all other rights of the people within the state. First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth Amendment rights. That's what the committee's there.
It should be there to defend the 10th Amendment.
Yes,
are you there?
Exactly. Amen to that.
Yeah. I've got, we're probably about down to about 30 seconds, okay? So just in case I lose you, I appreciate both of you coming on. Hope to have you back again, especially as we get closer to the committee meeting. And appreciate you being with us. Anything you want to say real quick about your organizations? You got 10 seconds.
I'd say anybody who wants to move together at the same direction at the same time on the civilian side, it's patriotsunion.org. On the veteran side, it is veterandefenders.org.
And veterans, get out there and speak out. Don't sit back on your duff and let things happen. Let people know that you disagree with whatever Washington is doing.
Well, thank you both. I appreciate you coming on. I hope to have you back, and hopefully we won't have any technical glitches the next time. Thanks again. You guys take care. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Your host, Dave Vance, signing off. Thanks.